and all the kids come up front. Can I do that? You got to see some of these kids. They've got some ties. Come up here. Come on. Some of them look like they're going to be preachers or deacons. I'm just sure of it. Look at there. Come on, bring them all up here. And we got to show you that there's a cause here. Come on up. Come on. Anybody else? We got some more back there. Come on. Look at this. Man, somebody's got to get a picture of this. You want me to get out of the way? Okay. I want you guys to bunch up a little bit. Something. Huh? Yeah, put the taller ones in the back. You little ones, come on out here. Come out front. Come on out this way. Come here. Won't you come out front here? Then you step back a little bit. You step back behind. You're taller. Yeah, there you go. All right. Uh-oh. Now, don't they look nice? Huh? Now we're scaring them. All these parents. Everybody. I knew we'd have somebody with a camera. Too many grandmas and grandpas around here. Okay, well. Huh? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Got another kid coming. That's another one. Oh, there comes Briley. Oh, we got another one coming. There were two in the bathroom. You have to start all over again. All right, try again. I think that's all of them. All right. Now I won't be able to see all the flashes. All right, I want to talk to you just a minute. Make the parents all sit down. I want to ask you a question. Today is what? Okay, what's that mean? Okay, how do you know Jesus resurrected? I mean, how do you really know? How do you know he's alive? Is there a way that you can know? Okay. When he saves you, he lets you know for sure that he's alive. That is the best proof that we have that Jesus is alive. Now, you might read it in the newspaper. Your parents may tell you. You may learn it in Sunday school. You may read it out of the Bible. Or you may have a friend to share with you and say, hey, Jesus resurrected today. But the only way you can really, truly know, the foolproof way to know that he is alive, is to have him in your heart. And that's what I want to talk to you today about. You can have your seat. Take your Bibles. Turn with me to the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I believe in a current, present day proof that Jesus is alive. Now, there's a lot of scripture that we could use. We could go through history and I could show you historically that Jesus is alive. There's plenty of proof and plenty of evidence historically. There's plenty of proof and plenty of evidence scripturally to demonstrate and to show that Jesus is alive. But I want to read some scripture taken from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians for a reading lesson. Paul said in verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now he's telling us there's plenty of scriptural proof to demonstrate and to show us and to teach us, to declare to us that Jesus died on a cross, was buried in a tomb, and resurrected on the third day. I presented these things according to the historical facts. And he goes on and says, but he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth unto the present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James and of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me. So he says, look, there's not only scriptural proof, there's historical proof. There's the proof by his appearance after those 40 days. And I will use the text, a passage of scripture found in the first chapter of Acts. We'll read maybe three verses in Acts chapter 1. Turn there with me if you would. Because in these passages, Paul said, look, people saw him. There was proof. The apostles saw him. For 40 days, he showed himself alive with many infallible proofs. And that's verse 3 of the first chapter of the book of Acts that I want to read in your hearing. But notice also in our reading lesson that Paul said also he was seen of me. I saw him. I have a personal witness to give. Though I didn't see him in the days of his flesh, years later, Jesus Christ appeared to the Apostle Paul, and I still believe that he appears to us today. There are other distinctions with respect to his appearing to them that I could go over, and I might go over some of them. There's other proofs, distinctive proofs. When he appeared to them, I mean, he appeared to them and he ate with them. He talked with them. He walked with them. He appeared in Jerusalem and in Galilee, in Bethany, in their homes, on the Mount of Olives. I mean, just various places. There's plenty of proof of his appearance. He appeared to them. Let's read some of these passages from the book of Acts. And notice this. Luke was writing in the book of Acts. Let me just begin in verse 1. The former treaty have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost. Now notice that. He says Jesus was taken up. He ascended. He ascended to glory, but he continued to teach us. Jesus is very much alive still teaching us today. The church needs to be taught some things today. And Jesus is available to teach us, to guide us, to help us, to govern us. He was teaching them and he gave commandments to the apostles. Notice he says he was taken up, but he continued through the Holy Ghost. He gave commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself what? Alive. He showed himself alive after his passion or after his death on the cross by what? Many infallible proofs. The Greek word is tekameiron, which has a distinct definition. The definition is beyond all reasonable doubt. Many infallible proofs. He showed himself alive. I contend he still shows himself alive today. With many infallible proofs, he showed himself alive, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Actually, after his passion and his resurrection, he just picked up where he left off concerning the kingdom of God, teaching them. You know, he could have, well, most would think, I suppose, that he would just sit the church down and say, church, look, I'm going to go away and I need to teach you how to have a business meeting. I need to teach you how to have church. I need to teach you how to have songs or how to have order in your church. That's not what he did. During those 40 days, he preached and he taught to them things regarding the kingdom of God. As far as we know, he didn't talk to them about church stuff. He talked to them about kingdom stuff. Think about that. He He picked up where he left off, and he began to teach them during those 40 days. And the reason he did that is for them to, they needed to understand, stay with me, they needed to understand how they could have a relationship as a church body, ecumenical body, with a risen Savior. That he would ascend to glory, but still interact and have a connection with his church. Now I can prove that. I don't have time really to get into this. All you have to do is go to the first couple of chapters of the book of Revelation. And that was years after his ascension. I tell you what, he was still head of the church. Involved in it, sending messengers to it. He had angels over those churches. He held them in his right hand. The Lord high and lifted up. Had the churches held in his hand. Had the ministers of those churches held in his hand. I tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ still holds us in his hand today. Praise God. And I'll tell you something, that's the kind of proof this generation needs to see. It needs to see a church. It needs to see pastors in the hand of the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ, the living Savior. All right, hold on. Let me finish this verse. He talked and preached to them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. I'm really concerned, and I've been concerned for quite some time, and I've been preaching that concern here at this church for a number of years, this major disconnect between church and the kingdom. It's a problem, because the only way church can have power is to be connected to the kingdom. Amen. There's where our power is. All right, so he gave them many infallible proofs that he was alive from the dead. I was going to read some more of this, but I think I'll just stop there. Okay, so here's my point. Current day, present day proof showing that Jesus is alive. How are we going to do that? Well, I think that's one of the main problems today with a lot of churches. All they present is the historical evidence. Or perhaps all they present unto them is the scriptural evidence. People, I contend that we need more. We need a spiritual, internal, experimental evidence that Jesus is alive. And that's the best kind of proof. It is infallible proof. For the Lord Jesus Christ to show up, get into your heart, rearrange your life, I tell you, there's power there. Amen. Convincing power. Convincing proof that Jesus Christ not only died on the cross, but he's alive. I know he's alive. I talked with him this morning. Amen. He's alive. Amen. He's just as much alive as JT is over there. Amen? Amen. He's just as real to me as JT is over there. Yeah. All right. So he showed himself alive. Well, there's plenty of scriptural evidence to support that. One of the ways that he demonstrates him being alive, his awareness, is by demonstrating his power that he has through the church. Remember when Paul went to Lystra? He went into that city, and there was a man there that was lame, and you can read about that in Acts chapter 14. He went into that city, and there was a man who was impotent in his feet. He was crippled. He had been crippled from birth. And he had never walked in his life. And the Apostle Paul went in there. And through a living Savior, by the power Jesus told this man to take, to stand up and walk. And he did. Amen. The Bible says, he said with a loud voice, stand up on your feet. And the man stood up and he walked. I'm telling you, the power to heal that Jesus had when he was here on this earth, he still has that same power. As far as I'm concerned, healing is proof. It's proof that Jesus lives. Sister Shirley came up to me this morning, was telling me about her daughter in Phoenix in an automobile accident. And the whole community in Arizona, in Phoenix, Arizona, they cannot doubt that there was a miracle that took place in Phoenix. You know what you told me? I'm telling you, Jesus still works miracles today. And it is proof, present, listen to me, it's present day proof that he's alive. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3, there's another place or two, you know, Paul healed that lame man at Lystra's. But he also... We read in the scriptures about Peter. I like that when he met that man at the Gate of Beautiful. And he also was lame in his feet. And he said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ, take up thy bed and walk. And the man took up his bed and he got to shouting. He shouted all through the temple and around the temple. Worked up people. I mean, he shouted. He leaped. The Bible says he shouted, he rejoiced, and everybody knew that that was that same lame man that was at the gate begging day in and day out. And I'll tell you how that happened. When Peter was called to the carpet, you look there in Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. He told them over and over again, you see this man walking? You see this man walking? It's because Jesus is alive. You can look there in Acts chapter 3 and verse 16. I could read these passages. He says it's through the faith and in the name of Jesus. Notice what he said earlier, how that was is the Prince of Life that you killed and hung on a tree. He's alive. I look in Acts chapter 4, verse 10. He makes it plain there. Be it known unto all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him both this man stands here before you whole. He's alive. He ascended to glory. And the church went out into the world and they didn't go out by themselves. They went out with the Lord. And the same power that Jesus had when he walked among men while he was here on earth to heal people and forgive sin, he has that same power because he is still alive. He's just as much alive in 2010 as he was back then. Yes, he's still accessible to hear us when we pray. He's still accessible to read our hearts. He's still accessible to bring healing and help and forgiveness when called upon. The same as he had when he was here in his flesh, walking among men. He's still in his flesh, but he's up there at the right hand of the Father. I'm going to say it again. Any type of Christianity that does not furnish proof of a living Redeemer, they're not worthy of the name. I'll go a little further. I'm going to tell you something. Any preacher, so-called, who does not present a living Christ with a present power to forgive sin needs to step down out of the pulpit. Relinquish his credentials. And churches today, I'll tell you what our problem is. We've adopted a dried up system of presenting Jesus Christ. We need a powerful, zealous, Holy Ghost filled presentation of the gospel. Yeah. We need churches of the Lord Jesus Christ that have a faith in a living Redeemer. And we need to furnish proof of His majesty and His power and His glory today to this present generation. Brad gave me an article about the millennium generation. You know, and all these different generations, they're given different labels and handles and titles. But here's the fact. The fact is that since Jesus ascended till now, every generation has had a presentation of a living Savior available to them. Every generation. Every generation. An ongoing, continuous, present presentation of a living Savior. How is that possible? It's possible through the presentation of the gospel and the power of God that changes lives. People look to Jesus and Jesus hears them when they pray. Isn't that proof? John said He hears us when we pray. We read in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 that we have access to the throne of grace. We can call upon Him and we have a high priest who's there at the right hand of the Father, and He's accessible. You know what's amazing to me? One of the things that's amazing to me is that I'll tell you how alive and how alert Jesus is. Sometimes before I even get the words out of my mouth, He knows the intent of my heart.
Amen.
I'll tell you how alive He is and how alert Jesus is to our needs. Sometimes all we have to do is feel the need. And He comes on the scene and answers our prayer before we even move our lips. Amen. We have a high priest, He says, which cannot be touched with the feelings. We have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly. Can we come boldly to the throne of grace? Amen. Do you have access to the Lord Jesus Christ right now? Amen. We sure do. Amen. We have access unto Him. I'm talking about proof. I'm talking about convincing proof, convicting proof that Jesus Christ is alive. He hears us. The dead don't hear. The living hear. And Jesus hears us, so He's alive. He hears me. He answers. He answers my prayers. Doesn't He answer your prayers? We can come boldly to the throne of grace. Have you ever called upon the Lord for help and He provided that help? The only way that can happen is for Him to be alive. You know, I know that He hears me. Well, I know it just as much as JT hears me. You hear me, don't you, JT? Yeah, and JT just responded. Yeah, I hear you. Same thing, man. I mean, it's the exact... Are you with me? It's just as real. My talking to the Lord is just as real as talking to JT Honeycutt. He hears me. here's the point. If that happens to you like it's happened to me, you'll have the proof. You'll have a personal, experimental proof that Jesus is alive. That's one way. He hears us. He answers our prayers. We talk with him. He talks back. Amen. He entered heaven alive. He sat down at the right hand of the Father. He sat down with glory, but also with mercy. And we have access to the throne of mercy. And we can get help. You can go to Jesus and get help and strength in times of need. We can come boldly to him. Well, let me give you another evidence of proof that Jesus is alive. Present day proof. I'm not just giving you historical facts. I'm not giving you ecumenical facts. I'm not giving you historical facts. I'm giving you present day facts. You can call on the Lord right now and he'll respond to you. Sinner friend, listen to me. If there's a doubt in your mind, if you would just try it, if you would call upon the Lord will hear you. He will respond to your prayer and your petition and your supplication, and you'll know in your own heart that Jesus is alive. Amen. Present day proof. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8. Turn there with me. Some more proof. Our high priest is in heaven, hears us, answers our prayers. Bible says, wherefore, he saith, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Gifts. Gifts unto men. Think about that just for a moment. Gifts. He gave gifts. He ascended to glory, sat down to the right hand of the Father, and for the last 2,000 years, he's been given each generation, each church, and each church age, he's been given people within the body of Christ gifts. They're right here. He's given us gifts. Gifts. Gifts of faith. Some of you are typical doubters, but you have, God has given you a special gift of faith. Gifts of love. Gifts of healing. Gifts of hope. Gifts of mercy. Gifts of teaching. Gifts of preaching. I'm telling you, we've got gifts. There's gifts at Victory Church that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us. You know, I see Aaron up here singing, and you guys don't know what kind of thrill that is for me. He's all sweaty, you know, and I bought him some handkerchiefs at one Christmas. I said, man, wipe your forehead. You know, he's wiping, slinging sweat all over us, and face all red and lit up, and man, that's a gift. Yeah, you can say what you want to. It's not a natural talent for Aaron. It's a gift. I'm telling you, it's a gift. God gave him that gift. I know some of you. I know for myself, preaching is a gift. Some of you know where I've come from. And let me tell you how I got here. I got here because of the gift. Not because of any natural ability. I'm here because Jesus gave me the gift. It's the only way you can preach, by the way. You got to be called and gifted to do so. And that gift has to come directly from Jesus. And listen, every generation has had preachers. And every single preacher in those generations that were legitimate and authentic were gifted preachers. The Lord Jesus Christ gave the church gifts. Gifts to preach. Gifts to teach. Some of you have a gift to teach. Some of you have other gifts that the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm just telling you, there's gifts in this house. You know what? Hang with me just a minute. All right? If you're in the body of Jesus Christ, if you're saved and you're a member of the Lord's church, and you really, sincerely want to be His disciple and His follower, and you want to work for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to serve Him, if you'll just humble yourself and make yourself available, the Lord Jesus Christ will gift you to do something. I'm telling you, you can experience it for yourself. Listen, dead people don't give gifts. My grandfather's been gone since I was 17 years old, buried up in Franklin, Kentucky. I still have a little pocket knife he gave me when I was a kid. He gave all his grandkids something every year at Christmas time. But when he died, I never got another gift from my grandfather. You know why? Because dead people don't give gifts. Live people do. And I'm telling you, he's giving gifts today. There could be somebody in this place, all right, who just humbles themselves to say, Lord, I want to serve you. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, all right, and give them the gift to do so. Amen. Today. Right now. You could be gifted with something to do in the kingdom of Christ. All right. Let me move on. He not only hears us, gifts us, but He's present with us. He said in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 20, Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He promised that. Do you feel Him with you? I mean, do you feel the Lord Jesus with you? In your home, in your life. Well, the reason you feel that is because He's present with you. In spirit, He's present with you. And it's a declaration that He is alive. In John chapter 16 and verse 7, He said, it's expedient. I'm going to turn over there just a minute. John 16, I'm trying to close. 16 and 7. He says, it's expedient for me to go away. If I don't go away, in other words, He said, if I don't resurrect and ascend to glory, I can't send the Comforter. But if I do resurrect and I ascend to glory, then I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. And it's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment to come. Anybody here experience the power of the Holy Ghost? Convicting them of sin? Huh? Making you aware that you need Jesus, that you're in trouble, and you need the blood of Jesus applied to your life. Has there ever been a time in your life where you were just going along, and suddenly, boom, you were convicted? Huh? Conscious of the fact that you were a lost, condemned sinner before God, felt an uneasiness like you never felt before? That's the Holy Ghost. And if anybody has ever experienced the conviction of the Holy Ghost, then that's proof that Jesus is in the glory and He's alive. Amen? That professor out in Missouri, I love his testimony. He got to visit in one of a revival meeting in a Baptist church, and he got under conviction. Here's a professor at a university, and he heard the gospel, and he was in trouble. There was a pain. There was an agony over his sins. There was a godly sorrow that built up in his heart. And he said to himself, you know, this has to be God. This has to be the Holy Ghost. This has to be Holy Ghost conviction, because I'm too smart to make myself feel this bad. And he sought the Lord with all of his heart and got saved. You know, that's happened to me. Hasn't that happened to you? I mean, the Lord deal with you, trouble you, bring you down. He said, I will send him. Look at it. It's right there in verse 7. I will send him. If there's one sinner today that seeks the Lord or is in trouble over their sins, who's mourning and weeping their separation from God, that's proof, present day proof, that Jesus is alive. You may have come to this service today, thought you're just going to endure it, get through it. You may have already decided that you would not go to that altar. May have decided that you're not going to respond to any kind of crazy, you know, offer that the preacher makes or invitation. But the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you. Tell you what, it can bring a big man down. Because you'll realize that the trouble inside of you is proof that Jesus Christ is alive, and you're going to have to face him in judgment. If you experience the arrows of conviction, well, it's like an old preacher said one time, there can fly no arrows of conviction from a bow of a dead archer. You know why you're experiencing arrows of conviction? Because Jesus Christ is alive. If there's anybody in this service today that finds peace, forgiveness of sin, it'll all be because he is alive. Present day proof for the present generation. This experience of proof is practical, it's personal, and it's satisfactory. I challenge you to try it. I don't know if you realize it or not, but this present day generation needs this kind of proof. And it's available. Amen. Through the gospel we preach, the kind of proof this generation needs for a great revival is available. And it's available to you, especially today. I ask you to try it. Try it. Aaron, get a song. The evidence is there historical, but you need more than that. You know deep in your heart you need more than just the historical evidence. These people around you, they will testify and tell you. Yeah. God bless you. Bless you, brother. Won't you want to pray?
I got a few things I need.
Okay,
to say,
go ahead. Brother. Go ahead, all right.
I came to this church with my brother the morning they got married. Uh-huh. And I walked into the church in that pew right over there. And as I was sitting there, I just barely made it into the church. I was hurting so bad.
Yeah.
Across my back and everything. And I sat there. And as I sat there, I heard your little talk. Two ladies got up and walked around, came down the pew, and walked back to their seat of praying.
Yeah.
And the Lord touched my back. And from then on, I've been able to walk without having any problem.
Amen.
And with my back.
Yeah.
I'm still a little bit sore and touched just every once in a while. But
yeah.
I can get here and dance now.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
I know the Lord.
He's alive.
He's alive.
Amen.
He is definitely, believe you me, he is alive today.
Amen.
And I know, because I got proof of it in my heart.
Amen.
I know he's alive.
Amen.
I told my brother about this a little while after it happened.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say anything. But boy, it sure touched my heart this moment.
Amen.
Again. It sure has.
God bless you.
I'm no member of your church, but I'd like to be.
Okay.
I'd like to be.
All right. Well, you want to join the church right now?
Well,
tell us about when you got saved.
Brother, we got time, I think. I think the good Lord will get us a little more
Tell us about when you got saved.
Well, I got saved I was 13 years old. A little country church out there at Lamont. My brother knows where it's at.
Yeah.
And I was baptized. I believe in the Lord. Yeah. I know He's touched my heart plenty of times between now and then.
Yeah.
Right now I'm 70 years old. So I know all about the Lord because He's really touched me. No doubt about it. I'm sorry I didn't come.
No, you're fine.
Towel. I come to this church, I ain't got no suit and towel.
You're fine.
I said the Lord has got to tell me that I got to get up and say something here.
Well, you better follow the Lord.
Here, brother.
Amen. We believe in following the Lord here.
I know you do. Okay. I've been here before.
All right, you heard his testimony. Do you know what church you were baptized into?
Yeah, it was a Baptist church.
Okay.
A little out in the country. It was Williams Chapel Baptist Church.
All right, why don't we take one of the watch care in the church and we figure this out. Okay. Motion and second. We take one of the watch care in the church and we figure this out. Anyone like to speak to this motion?